Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Danny Ainge is willing to trade for Anthony Davis, even if Davis doesn't tell him beforehand, I'll sign long term. And I'm not surprised at that. Ainge is one of the top GMs in the league. Secondly, Anthony Davis, remember, people forget, he can't be a free agent until 2020.
Right.
If I'm an organization that is as strong as the Boston Celtics, that has their history, has their talent, has their very good coach, has their very good front office, will have and has right now a superstar in Kyrie Irving, I feel good about my chances of keeping an Anthony Davis. Remember, Kevin Garnett did not want to leave Minnesota and go to Boston. He had to be convinced to accept that trade. He finally does, and he loved it. Won a championship, was not as dominant in Boston as he had been in Minnesota, but he'll tell you that changed his career. But so I totally believe that Danny Ainge will pull that trigger.
I agree with you from the standpoint that also you're trying to win. You're trying to win now.
You might win it next year and he leaves.
You might say, I'm good.
Right.
We won a championship. That's what our goal is. That's what we're trying to do here. You could talk about a five-year plan. Nobody's living on a five-year plan.
Not nowadays.
And hopefully that the kids will bounce, will come together and make something happen. So that's not always the case. And then, you know what? For a lot of people, you got to take a look at what happened in Oklahoma City. Everybody told the Pacers, right?
Yep.
They told Oklahoma City they were dumb.
I thought they were crazy.
They were dumb.
Why
would you make a trade for him? He's going to L.A. He's been talking about the Lakers for 2 years, going back home. Paul George gets to OKC, and what happens? He loves it. He falls in love with it.
And that's OKC.
Right.
That's not Boston.
Him and Westbrook have a bond, right? They're cool. And all of a sudden, he's not interested in – he doesn't even meet with Magic. He didn't even entertain it, Chris. That's why you don't know until sometimes you get a guy, get him into your environment, let them see what you're doing, and you never know.
That's why I think it – I wouldn't go as far as to call it a long shot, but the Lakers really have an uphill battle to get Anthony Davis because you need cooperation from the New Orleans Pelicans.
And they're not – we talked about this a little bit yesterday. If you're the GM or the owner, you have to answer to your fans.
Right.
If the fans feel like the Lakers came and took your star player and gave you the bad Lakers who aren't good enough to make the playoffs. Oh yeah,
well, some of them are good though.
No, but I'm saying, but together
saying.
They're not. They haven't done anything.
Right.
So here's all these guys or whatever. So you have to fight for your fans and your franchise to say the big bad Lakers didn't just come and evict us. They didn't just come and grab our guy and throw us scraps and say you're New
Basically
Orleans.
Bully us.
Right. Bully us out of our star player. So I think that's why they came and they issued a statement saying they're going to go work on their own timetable, nobody else's, and they said that they filed a grievance with the NFL, with the NBA. I'm not saying anything's going to come of it.
Nothing will.
But it's all a part of the show to show fans that they're fighting back.
Right, that's right. And you alluded to this other part earlier because there is a report out that could throw a monkey wrench in Boston's plans because I've talked to people close to this situation. And I'm telling you, right now, at this very moment, Rob, Anthony Davis's top two places would be the Lakers and then the Knicks. But Boston, he's apprehensive about Boston because he's not sure they're going to keep Kyrie Irving. Okay? Not that Kyrie will re-sign with them. Of course, if Kyrie does stay there, I think that changes things for Davis. And now you look at those two teaming up and maybe winning championships.
Two young guys
in the future.
For a long way to
great.
Go.
A small and a big, both of them versatile. It'd be great. But, and you and I talked about this weeks ago, Right, Rick Bucher, again, our colleague back at the old network, he came out with a story. It's, again, sourced and all that stuff, but he says that it says a source close to the Celtics confirmed that Kyrie Irving is genuinely interested in reuniting with his former Cavaliers teammate LeBron James.
I don't buy that.
The source says that is for real.
I don't buy that for I don't buy that for 2 ounces, 1 ounce. I just
Why
don't.
Not?
Because I don't. You got LeBron as an older player. Like they were
still great. We'll see what he looks like.
But
when he comes back,
They were together and couldn't beat them. They lost four.
They beat Golden State though.
But
the first time they lost to them, Kyrie and Love were hurt.
Yeah, but I'm just not.
Now they didn't have Durant, obviously.
Right. And when they did, and I get it, they lost 4-1 when Kyrie was there, and then they lost 4-0 without Kyrie.
Right.
I just don't see the way that ended. That would be his path. To me, that would be going backwards. You're joining an older player who, for the first time, showed some wear.
He just got hurt.
But he's been out for a while, Chris. You could poo-poo it all you want.
But everybody gets hurt.
No, I know, but LeBron never got hurt.
I'm just saying,
I'm not buying into it.
Is age a part of this? Perhaps.
Yes.
But I want to see it. I'm not just going to assume that a guy that was 27-7
look at
seven
look at everybody
before
who's
he
ever
got
played.
Injured,
look
a guy that took a bunch of no names to the fourth seed of the West earlier in the season is done. You're talking about him like he's done.
I'm not saying he's done, but I'm saying the long term as you go forward and you put more time and more games on that body, Father Time is undefeated. LeBron James and everybody. Look at all the great players who have all gone down. As their career goes forward. So all I'm saying is
there may be a draw of the Lakers, of Los Angeles, maybe media. You've seen all that LeBron has done since he's gone to the Lakers. Kyrie is interested in that stuff, too. He's starting his own media company and all that.
Yeah, but I'm
not saying I think it's going to happen.
I'm just going to ask you.
I don't think you can completely write it off.
Right now, give me a number where you are. I'm saying 0%. But tell me where you are.
Of Kyrie possibly going to the Lakers?
Yep.
5%.
Okay. All right,
I don't think it's likely. We're in the same ballpark.
I'm saying it's zero.
But I think my point has been this.
I think this is
what
just
what 3 weeks ago was not even a remote possibility is now within the realm of possibility. And here's what I say, Rob. Kyrie has to decide, does he enjoy being the leader? Does he enjoy
like that?
Does he enjoy the responsibility that comes with that? Making sure the chemistry is right in the locker room. Making sure the egos are in check. Making sure everybody's happy and on the floor, off the floor. All that stuff, your behavior, your play, your words, all that stuff comes into play as a leader. Getting the credit and the blame when your team performs well or performs poorly. Does he want that? If he does, why in the world would you leave Boston? If he doesn't, if he just wants to be that sniper, if he just wants to be that perennial all-star, that perennial all-NBA player who goes out there and balls, and then LeBron or somebody else handles all that other stuff, then maybe he'll consider going to the Lakers. We will see.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rod, obviously you've been talking all day about the game coming up. I don't know how you feel about it. Maybe it's fine. Maybe you think he shouldn't be saying it. But I want to start with Nicole Roby Coleman. He's talking a lot of trash. And I'm saying, you know, he's the guy that really made the bad play that unfortunately for him wasn't called.
It was a good play. He got the call.
And should he be – do you have a problem with a lot of the talking that he's doing?
Well, he tried to backtrack and say what he didn't say and what people thought he meant.
Right.
So he tried to take that back, which, you know, maybe he didn't mean it that way. Maybe, you know, sometimes people speak in their minds they're – thinking they're saying it one way and everybody perceives it another way. But when you're that guy who didn't throw the flag on you, and if they would have, your team wouldn't be in the Super Bowl, you know, it's okay to be confident. It's okay to still be believe in your team and what you're going to do. But playing against a team like, you know, the Patriots, who, you know, have won so much, have done so much, they just need motivation sometimes. You know, sometimes they can be a little dormant, and you give them more motivation, which I don't think you need any for this magnitude of a game, because the winner takes all. The loser goes home with a
– I don't know how you can't get up for that.
You should be able to. Everybody should be able to. So to make any comment to maybe can they can put on their bulletin board, so to speak, or the head coach can mention it in the team meeting, I would be very leery of that.
Speaking of that, bulletin board material, whatever, so Willie McGinnis was over talking to us briefly, and he said that rant that I had on Colin about the Patriots and all that, that they showed that in the locker room to the players. When you were a player, did they ever bring up stuff that somebody said on television or a columnist wrote in the paper?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Chuck Noll didn't do it, but Bill Cowher did it. Brian Billick did it.
And they would say, this guy doesn't believe in you. He doesn't think
It wouldn't be that guy. It would be that they don't believe in you. It's us against the world mentality.
Right.
Coaches do it all the time. You know, so I'm not surprised that, you know, Belichick did it. I'm surprised that I don't think Tom Brady needs that, you know, that bulletin board material. Certain players don't need it. I didn't need it. I didn't want it. I didn't need to hear it. But there are certain guys who are on that borderline cuff that needs that motivation, even though you get double the money for the victory. You get a big, nice ring for the victory. You get the Lombardi Trophy for your victory.
And bragging rights for the rest of your life.
Well, for a year.
For other players who don't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, I got one.
And we always announce you as a Super Bowl champion. You know what I mean? That does give you some extra
and
cash.
And also, when you do stuff, if you won a Super Bowl, they got to pay you a little extra than – Or you're a Hall of Famer?
The Hall of Fame gives you a little bit more credibility than Super Bowl, because everybody wins the Super Bowl. There's a Super Bowl winner every year.
Right.
There's 53 some odd guys every year that wins a Super Bowl. It's not the same as the Hall of Fame, because it's going to be probably five or six guys to go this year. It's only 300 some guys in the history of pro football. So that's a little different than everybody winning Super Bowls every year.
Tom Brady said this week there was some speculation he might retire if they win the Super Bowl. He said there's zero chance
Heck
of him retiring.
No.
Right. What do you think about him? Like, how much longer can he play? And how much really play at this high level?
As long as he's comfortable. I played 17 years. I would have played longer than that if I wouldn't hurt my knee my last year. And I think barring any major injuries to Tom, he's going to play 2 to 3 more years. He doesn't have to, but he wants to.
Is a lot of it that – so you said you played 17. That's really long for a defensive back – for any player, but especially a defensive back, too.
Right.
You would have played longer. Is that because even though people look at you guys as old in football years, you're still a really young guy in real life?
Oh, yeah, in life terms, we're young.
Right.
You know, but in football, we're grandpas. You know, they call you old man in the locker room.
Yeah.
But, you know – it's different today, though, a little bit, because the OTAs are set up a little differently. You know, once they're done in February, so they'll be done, you know, come Sunday night. They don't show back up until the facilities until after the draft. So their body gets a rest, where when we were playing, we went back at it not too far, you know, a couple weeks out, and then we're back to training again.
Wow.
So it was a little bit different. They have a little bit more time to recover. And then, you know, if you're a quarterback, you're overly protected in the pocket, out of the pocket. Receivers overly protected, so they don't get banged up and beat up like everybody else.
And why would Tom Brady retire anyway when he's collecting three checks? Paycheck, pension, Social Security, you know what I mean?
He's got getting all everything. Three. But isn't it crazy? But think about this, though. His wife makes more than he makes.
I know.
That's unbelievable.
I'll tell my wife, hey, honey, I'm retiring. I'm going to be a stay-at-home dad. You go make that bacon.
Right. You know what's funny? That was Bill Laimbeer when he played for the Pistons. His dad was like a big businessman, and he actually made more. How many fathers make more than an NBA player? His dad actually made more money than Laimbeer when he was an NBA player, which is you don't see that often.
You do not see that.
It's the Odd Couple. We are joined by Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, Rod Woodson. Rod, when a lot of people talk about the Patriots and you know, just you look at that roster and you don't see a ton of talent, especially at receiver with Josh Gordon gone. You're talking about Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman. I'm not talking about Gronkowski, but the receivers. You as a defensive back, do you wonder sometimes why these guys, they can get open, or they're not as talented as the best players at that position? How do you think they do it, and how would you have guarded them? And
well,
you know,
the key for them is Edelman. You know, you could just look at the numbers, look at the yardage. It's Edelman first. And if I'm a defense coordinator, I'm taking him away at least half the time, either playing a four-man or double-double, or just a double on him and everybody else man up, and we have one man free. I'm taking him away to try to get Tom to reset, because Tom is going to look at him first. And then he does a great job of his routes are ran very similar. So his crossing routes, his if you overplay that crossing route, he's going to whip on you and do a pivot and return. You know, so I told our guys in Oakland, we played them 2 years ago in Mexico City. I told our guys in Oakland, get your hands on him. You get your hands on him, you eliminate a lot of that stuttering and moving, and Tom has to maybe pat that ball one time, maybe pat it twice.
It makes a difference.
You pat it once, you pat it twice. Now you got Adama Sue. Now you got Aaron Donald coming up the middle. They're getting to him, and they have to get to Tom early. If they don't get to Tom early, then that receiving core has a little bit more leeway to run their routes freely, and Tom won't feel pressure. But if he feels that pressure, they're going to have to hurry up a little bit. Then the advantage goes to that defense for the Rams.
And I think the Rams will be able to get to Brady. I mean, the last two teams that they beat, San Diego, I mean, the Chargers and Kansas City, they basically didn't touch him. And the one time that they did touch him, it was a terrible rough in the passer call. But basically, am I right? That was an awful call.
Awful call.
But Tom Brady hasn't, and you have to get to Brady.
You had the San Diego Chargers. Or excuse me, LA Chargers.
I know, we get
that's San Diego. Man, that stuff's still killing me. They should be in San Diego anyway.
Too,
but anyway.
It takes a while to shake it. I get
that. The Charger team, that game plan that they had was awful.
Awful.
That's probably one of the worst game plans I've seen in quite a long time.
And we knew all week they were going to have seven defensive backs. Everybody knew.
And that was a terrible game plan because they played that soft zone, and Tom was eating them up. And then Kansas City made me frustrated because Edelman and Gronk was eating them up the whole day. They barely did. They did a double-double a couple times, and it took them away. But they didn't do it enough. They should have kept doing that and making somebody else beat them.
That's why they had to fire the defensive coordinator in Kansas City. It ain't for people to lose their jobs, but that was a terrible job.
And Bob Sutton is a good man. He is a good coordinator, but he didn't adjust on the sideline. And you have to have a game plan, yes. But when that game plan is going sideways, you better be able to adapt on the sideline.
You got
to
go timeout. We got to refigure
right
this
now,
out.
Not, you can't wait for halftime. And after halftime, you can't wait till the game is over. It's too late. Right. So you have to be able to adapt on the sideline. That's something they didn't do. And that's something that I really am impressed by what New England does, because they do adapt on the sideline. Because if you're going to take something away, they're going to come back the second time around, maybe run the same type of play, but go to a different player. And that's one of the main reasons they're freaking, you know, Tom Brady's been to 9 Super Bowls.
I want to ask you something off the Super Bowl. Deshaun Watson, Pro Bowler, he said that he hopes that he or thinks he and Patrick Mahomes can have a rivalry like Brady and Peyton Manning.
Which is a little premature
for me. I feel confident that Mahomes can live up to that. I'm not so sure about Watson. I think Luck is better right now. But what do you think about those two quarterbacks? Are you sure at this time that either one of them is going to have a great, great career?
Well, first of all, when you look at Patrick Mahomes, who does some things that are just not teachable. That's his natural gift.
Do you remember when he was falling down and he changed hands and threw the ball left-handed?
Right.
Like that's not something you could teach somebody.
You don't teach that. Now, sometimes those strong-arm quarterbacks get themselves in trouble because they're throwing in small windows, and if the DB just turns his head, he has an opportunity. Right. But with that being said, that talent, I think, will keep being positive for the Kansas City Chiefs as long as they keep talent around him. And then when I look at Deshaun Watson, you know, 62 sacks. On a year, 62 sacks is a lot of sacks, man. You can't get hit like that.
Right.
As long as he played within himself and he doesn't turn the ball over, I think he had 29 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, something like that. or 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. I can't remember exactly what it is. But he didn't have double-digit interceptions. As long as you take care of the football and you're smart with the ball, you can be a positive, good quarterback in the National Football League. And then he just can't take those hits. The hits that he has to take, take them. But the hits that you don't have to take, be smart with the football. Be a smart individual quarterback. And then as he grows as a quarterback in the pocket, he's a better pocket passer than people give him credit for. He's going to start recognizing defenses faster, and he'll get rid of the ball even better.
Didn't we see that with Garoppolo take an unnecessary hit on the sidelines, right? That wind up knocking him out.
I don't even think – did he get hurt from a hit?
No, he got hurt. He just got hurt from the cut.
Right.
But I'm saying, like, there was, like, that even that situation. Like, well, why are you even
– why? Just run out of bounds.
He tried to get,
like, an extra foot.
Right, like an extra foot. Like, just step out of bounds.
Right.
And it's hard, though, because when you're a competitor, you compete at all times. And you really don't think about it until retrospect. You know, I know after it happened, he's in the locker room. He's feeling like, why didn't I just run out of bounds?
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, players always think about what could have been. And, you know, if Deshaun, if he just takes care of his body, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I think he's going to keep growing and recognizing defenses. And as long as they keep the weapons around him, because, listen, you got DeAndre, baller. Fuller was a baller before he got hurt. So if he comes back and he's healthy – and you got Thomas still there. You got three good receivers for your young quarterback. And if Miller stays on course like he did this past year and had some good games for him, the running game is there. So their issue wasn't their offense. I thought their issue was down the stretch was their defense. They just couldn't stop anybody down the stretch.
Let me ask you about Bill Belichick and his coaching tree, which is – people always talk about the Patriots way and how they do business or whatever, but every time one of those guys go on their own, right, taking what Bill Belichick preaches, it doesn't work out. Like nobody's had any success.
They don't bring Tom Brady with them.
So, well, I'm just,
right? Is that right? That's
but
right.
I'm just saying, isn't that weird that all these guys have gone on, you know what I mean, from him, and nobody's had any success?
Well, it's tough to be successful in the National Football League. Just because you get a Bill Belichick disciple as a coach doesn't mean he's going to be Bill Belichick. He doesn't have the same mindset. He doesn't have the same vision. He doesn't watch the game with the same lenses.
Or maybe he doesn't have the same video camera that Bill had.
Video camera, recorders, a lot of different things have gone on with that football team. But nevertheless, they still win on a consistent basis with Tom Brady. So those guys go hand in hand. And when you get a six-round pick and he turns into a perennial Pro Bowler, a Hall of Famer, and now people are saying the best quarterback to ever play in the National Football League, that doesn't happen too often.
Rod, I want to stick with what Rob said because he was obviously alluding to Spygate and Deflategate.
For some reason,
they were cheating, they got punished, and I get it. For some reason, I don't really hold that against them. I know they did it, but I don't look at them as not as great as, you know, their accomplishments. Do you know the ins and outs of this game.
Well,
do you look at it like that?
It's sad. You know, we all try to get competitive advantages. You know, if I can steal a signal, I'm going to steal a signal. If I can steal a audible, I'm going to steal audible. But to wire somebody up, to videotape signals, to go back to look at it, that's absolutely wrong.
See?
I don't think they were punished enough, to be honest.
That's why NFL America doesn't embrace them despite all the winning. This team should be celebrated, and it's not.
It's just America, as much as we think, they don't like winners. This thing about a lot of people don't like the Warriors because they win. People just don't like winners. They can say they like winners until they start winning. And they're like, you know what? Can I get somebody else, please?
After a while.
So as much as I disapprove of the things that they did wrong, you still got to respect that Tom Brady's been to 9 Super Bowls. That is nuts.
Got to be a little lucky, too.
Got
to be a little lucky. You know that.
You really do. But, you know, you think about that. But then you think about their defense. Their defense this year started out poorly. And then, you know, Brian Flores, I thought he's done a wonderful job. You know, he's the de facto defensive coordinator. He doesn't get the title, but we know he's making the calls. I give him a lot of credit because they have a latent veteran team on the defensive side, a lot of no names, but guys who understand football or guys who've seen quite a bit. So they're not getting surprised by these quarterbacks and what's going to happen in the game, and they play fast.
Right.
I mean, they press like 50% of the time. I think they're the number one team when press coverage in the National Football League. So they challenge receivers. They get after different quarterbacks. He's not scared to zero blitz,
right?
Which a lot of defensive coordinators are, because you can get burned. And they've done a good job down the stretch of winning football games for this team.
All right, that's the great Rod Woodson. A lot of knowledge there. We appreciate it. And you silenced Rod Parker on his Patriots.
No, he didn't silence me. His take was honest. And you said that they weren't penalized enough. Everybody tries to get an advantage, but I'm telling you, that has marred the way a lot of other NFL America fans look at the Patriots. It's not just the winning. It's that you're going the extra yard to cheat.
Absolutely. I think you're right. I think a lot of people take what they did wrong to the extreme in a sense. But I think, you know, even though you cheated, they cheated a couple times. They got caught. They didn't get punished enough, I don't believe. But they still win it.
No, I got
it. So you got to give Belichick a little love. You got to give Tom's a lot of love, because you know Tom Brady, he's not a great athlete.
No,
but he's a really good quarterback. You know, and he can't run from here to me to you in 10 seconds.
He can't catch a pass. Don't you remember last year in the Super Bowl?
He's not a great athlete, like I said, but he can throw the football. And the one thing that he does well, he recognizes defense is extremely fast. And if you don't disguise against him and you don't get pressure on him, it can be a long day for the Rams.
If they don't all get right. to him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.